Praise the Lord. Let's all stand, if you will. Bow our heads. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we appreciate, Lord, you giving us another day. Lord, another year, Lord, that you've kept us safe. Lord, you've been with us all, every step of the way, Lord, and we're so thankful. Lord, you guided our steps here tonight at this little place. Lord, we're so thankful for the opportunity, Lord, to gather. Lord, we gather in your precious holy name this evening. Lord, we ask that everything that's said and done be for your glory and your honor. Bless the service now, Lord, as we ask. Lord, bless the word to our hearts, Lord, once more. Lord, more than anything in this life, Lord, we need revelation. And Lord, we desperately ask for that this evening night, Lord. Just have your way in the service now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask and pray. Amen. You may be seated. What a privilege it is, together once again. Page 224, and only believe. Sing this song a lot, it seems like, but listen to the words in it. Amen. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. None else could heal all our souls' diseases. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus.
Give like this.
not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Oh, Jesus knows all about our struggle. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Hallelujah. Amen. What a friend he is. Amen. Ever there in a time of need. Praise his wonderful name. I'd like to sing page 360 in the same book. Amen.
Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. Oh, greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. Satan's like a roaring lion, roaming to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. The Bible tells us so. Many souls have been his prey, to fall in some weak hour. But God has promised us today his overcoming power. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. Oh, greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. On the day of Pentecost, a rushing mighty wind blew into the upper room and baptized all of them with a power greater than any earthly foe. Amen. I'm so glad I've got it too. I'll let the whole world know. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. Oh, greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Praise his wonderful name for his precious mercy and grace. Amen. Well, to come and dwell in a being such as me is just humbling. Amen. I'm sure you feel the same way. Amen. Page 266 in the same book. Amen. I was just reading through this song and just had to sing it tonight.
Praise the Lord.
Because he lives. Amen. Yes, hallelujah. Amen. God sent his son. Hallelujah. They called him Jesus. He came to heal and forgive. Listen. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior. Sing it. Because he lives. Appreciate you with all our hearts. Lord, thank you for dying on the cross for me, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for bearing my burdens, Lord. We appreciate you so much. And Lord, because you live, Lord, we can face tomorrow. Amen. Glory, hallelujah. Amen. We thank you, Lord. Such a praise in our hearts for what you've done for us. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we appreciate your Holy Spirit, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy and grace. Amen. Glory, hallelujah. Oh, because he lives, I can face
appreciate it with all our hearts. You may be seated. Amen. Praise the Lord. We ask Brother Soul if he would come and take the offering. Amen.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so appreciative. Lord, your grace is shown in every life. Lord.
Hallelujah.
Father, we come tonight, Lord, with so much thanksgiving. Lord, as we come to the end of this year, Father, even as we look back, as our brother mentioned, Lord, we can see you in every step you take. Lord, guiding our feet, guiding our steps.
Yes.
Lord, so much word that you've fed us with. Lord, and give us the revelation. We're so appreciative. Lord, may you truly be with us through the new year, Lord, we ask. May your glory just be abounding with us. Lord, bless this offering, Lord. Lord, each and every one that can give, may you just bless it and multiply it to meet the needs. Lord, that this little place may be a lighthouse for years to come, as long as you tarry.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord, and we ask this in your precious name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
I'm reaching out to you, dear Lord. Amen.
I'm reaching out to you, dear Lord. I'm reaching out to you. I know your arm is not too short, and you can reach me too. As I pray and press my way into your kingdom true, I'll grow to be more like you just by reaching out to you. Oh, I'm reaching out to you, dear Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I know your arm is not too short, and you can reach me too. And as I pray and press my way into your kingdom true, I'll grow to be more like you just by reaching out.
Amen. Anyone have a need upon their heart this evening? Raise their hand. Amen. Just keep it all in your hearts. Dear precious Heavenly Father, Lord, it's such a privilege. Lord, it's such an honor, Lord, to come to you in prayer.
Yes.
Lord, as the little song says, Lord, I'm reaching out to you.
Yes.
Lord, I have such a burden on my heart, Lord, for all my brothers and sisters, Lord, that may be hurting tonight.
Yes.
Oh, God. I ask you to bless them, Lord. Be with them.
Yes.
Lord, make it a little easier for them. I ask and pray. Lord, it seems like we don't think about these things, and Lord, unless it comes down our path. But Lord, may we always have each other on our hearts, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, in praying to you that we can do something to help.
Yes.
Lord, lay it on our hearts, Lord, as you see fit. Lord, that's my prayer. Lord, honestly, that's my prayer. Lord, if there's anything I can do to help my brothers and sisters, Lord, I want to be the first one there, Lord, to help. Lord, if we all had that on our hearts all the time, Lord, taking care of each other, Lord, praying for each other. Lord, just praying for a burden, Lord, to be lifted or someone help through a trial they're going through. Lord, it's on our hearts, Lord. We appreciate you. That's only you, Lord, that can place that in each heart. We're thankful for it, though, Lord.
Amen.
And, Lord, we ask, Lord, that as we think about these ones, Lord, that has a need tonight that we may not even know about, Lord, we don't know everything, only what you lay on our hearts. And, Lord, all the ones here that has a need, the up raising their hand, all the ones sitting at home maybe listening in with their hands raised, Lord, you know all about it, Lord. You knew it before the foundation of the earth. And you also knew that we'd be standing here tonight, Lord, praying for those on our hearts.
Yes.
Lord, and we ask you to take care of every situation according to your perfect will. Lord, we ask you to make the road just a little easier, Lord, if it be in your will. Lord, just have your way now. Bless each one. Heal their bodies. But Lord, most of all, Lord, most important, Lord, is our soul. Lord, we didn't come here tonight, Lord, just to fill a space, Lord, and to fill time. We came to hear what you have for us, Lord. Lord, we don't want to ponder off and go to sleep and be bored. And Lord, this is life and death, Lord.
Yes.
We want to sit here intently, Lord, and hear what you have for us each and every time we come through those doors. Lord, if not, we're wasting our time. But Lord, I believe on that little elected's heart, she's got a burning and a striving in her heart, Lord, to reach that goal. Lord, and I thank you for placing that in our hearts. Lord, just reveal it to us now. Lord, make it easy on the speaker. Let everything that's said and done be for your glory and your honor. Lord, we'll give you all the thanks, Lord, and all the glory for all you do for us. Lord, we just appreciate you now. We ask you to bless the remainder of the service. Bless each one of our ears to hear, Lord. Bless each one that's sitting here, each one that has a desire to be here. We ask you to bless them now. In the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray these things. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
Praise his name. You may be seated. Boy, amen. Ain't you thankful? Amen. Do you love each other?
Oh, yeah.
You love him? Amen.
Praise
amen. Anybody at this time have a song in their heart? Amen. Anyone at all? Sisters, we ask you to come if you would.
Glory, Lord.
stand, if you will. As we ask our brother to come, let me sing that little chorus. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Amen. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. You're and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a
opportunity to be here this evening. Lord, we just so appreciate you and what you've done for us and are doing in our lives, Lord. And oh, how great thou art. And Lord, as we sing these precious songs, may that truly be the desire of our heart above all things, Lord, to be a sanctuary for you. That our life would be a reflection of you in every situation, Lord. And we'd be a reflection of this precious word made alive, being manifested and lived back through these bodies of clay. And Lord, we've just come tonight to go into your precious word and to draw strength from it, Lord, and to help it, have it give us help, Lord, to walk and to press on and to keep moving, Lord, to make sure that we're staying in the harness, Lord, and that we're being pleasing to you. And we just humbly ask that you would bless your word to our hearts and bless my lips as I speak, Lord, that we would each one grow together, Lord, and draw from these precious words. And as we feed upon it, Lord, we just ask you to impart it to our hearts, Lord, in a special way. And we'll never fail to give you the glory and the honor for it all. In the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we ask these things. Amen. Oh, isn't he wonderful?
Amen.
So happy to be out this evening. Amen. Last day of the year, here we are. Amen. It's wonderful. While you're still standing, if you would, let's turn over to the book of Acts. Amen. Little thought on my heart. It's kind of been on my heart for a little bit, just meditating on this. And was I didn't quite have it together, and just felt pressed to go down to my study again before service. I had some things I was trying to take care of, and I was sitting there going through these things, and the phone rang, and Sister Belong was on here, and she goes, Brother Steve was wondering if you could take it tonight. And I thought, Lord, you had a reason for it. Mm-hmm. So may we just take these things and see if we can grow. You know, we've all, we'll get into it here, but in Acts, the 16th chapter, just praying something will be said to help us. Amen. Let's start here in Acts 16th chapter and the 16th verse. And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of deviation met us, which brought her master's much gain by soothsaying. And the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her master saw that the hope of their gainsaying was gone. They caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace and to the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful to us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." And the multitude rose up together against them. And the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. May the Lord bless the reading of his word, and you may be seated. And Brother Smith went over this while he was here, but just to read this again as we think about this, but quite a situation Paul and Silas got into.
Yes,
and to think about that, we all sit here tonight and we all have situations. You know, you don't know what I'm going through. I don't know really what you're going through. But we all are going to face things. As Peter said, "Think it not strange concerning the fiery trials that shall come upon you."
Amen.
They're there to prove out your faith. These things happen, and we see this happening here to Paul and Silas. And as I was thinking about this, we'll go ahead and read on down as we know the rest of it here, but just listen and think about this, what Paul and Silas had just been put through, and God sent them there. Think of that. God sent them there to carry this message that he was bringing, and then this to happen, and to, here they are suffering, beaten, throw into jail. And I'm sure it wasn't pleasant. It wasn't nothing like what we've got today for a jail cell. And then the 25th verse, it says, "At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keepers of the prison, waking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew his sword and would have killed himself, supposing the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Do thyself no harm, for we are here.' And then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' And they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house.' And they spoke unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all of his house." And we see this situation worked to the glory of Jesus Christ. And my thought, and been thinking upon, is atmosphere. I want you to think of the atmosphere we create. And Brother Branham said many things about that. And how we can bring the atmosphere around us. Now, what if Paul and Silas laying there in that old jail cell would have got to feeling sorry for themselves? And Paul maybe began to moan and groan, "Well, you don't know how bad my back's hurting from my beatings." And Silas says, "Oh, you don't know how bad they hit me over here on this backside." Just think about it. We've all got situations, saints, every one of us. And we don't know from day to day what each one of us is going to face. So don't think, "Well, he's talking to me. No, I've got situations of my own. And as the Lord has let me see things through this, I'm praying each one of us can maybe grab something from these precious words and maybe it'll help us along life's way. But as we think about that, there was no complaining from either one of them. But they begin to sing and to praise God for the blessings they had in their life already. They wasn't thinking about what was going to happen tomorrow. They didn't know what God was going to do. God didn't tell them if they'd sing and praise him that he would loosen those stocks. They didn't know that. They didn't know that maybe in the morning they was going to face a chopping block. They didn't know what tomorrow held. But in the moment of their suffering and pain, laying in that old jail, what was on their mind? Being full of the Holy Ghost and having the mind of Christ, the Holy Spirit living in them, begin to sing, "Thank you, Lord." And you know, we might think about it as I was thinking of the little song, "I've got so much to thank him for."
Amen.
It never matters how hard The test and the trial is, it don't matter what I'm going through, what has he done for me already? Where did he bring me from? Who called me to this purpose and this walk of life? And he knew me before this world was ever formed and placed me here. Do I keep these things always before me? This is the word. And David said, I keep his word always before me. Do we think on these things, even in the heat of what we're going through or what we're facing in life, each and every one of us? Because every one of us are going to have situations. The husband, he's out working all day, and maybe he's had a really, really rough day. The wife's at home, maybe she's had a really, really rough day. Everybody's had situations. And then what if when we come together, if we're not thinking about God and about the atmosphere we're creating around each one of us, what's the result bring happening? So Brother Branham said this, and we'll just let him say it. He says it best. Hey, man, I like the way he put things. But this is in the message, The Oddball. And he was just speaking. This is preached May 31st, 1964, paragraph 10. He said, and he was talking about church at this point. He says, and I certainly, he said, amen, walked out the door. I'd say it would pay me every Sunday to drive up here or have my children even come to sit under an atmosphere like this, because it's always the atmosphere that brings the results. You can lay a seed out there in the ground, no matter how much that seed is germatized, lay it there. It's got to have an atmosphere to make it live. That sun has to come to a certain power before it and bring it to a certain atmosphere. An egg has to have an atmosphere or it won't hatch. No matter how fertile it is, it's got to have that atmosphere. And I think that in a group like this, Christians hatch out and are born again in such an atmosphere as this. This is the kind of atmosphere I was born under. No matter where I go and visit, the cold world, the mission fields, and so forth, I can even stand and close my eyes and think of this atmosphere. And this reminds me, when I was just a boy preacher and just starting out, we had little groups to meet from house to house, and we separated ourselves from the things of the world too. And that's what made my heart the way it is today, in love with Christ, where we can dwell together. I believe the scripture said, how sweet it is that the brethren can dwell together in unity. It's like the anointing oil that was on Aaron's beard that ran to the hem of his garments. And just so much could be said. Maybe the Holy Spirit will interpret to you after I'm gone what it is. Wish I could stay all afternoon and just forsake Mills and everything else and just sit here and hear you sing. Hear you sing, talk, and testify. It means so much. And as we think about that, as we think about the atmosphere, when we come in here and we sit underneath the anointing of God's precious word and come in and sing, or even coming in before service and just sitting here in this little building that's dedicated first to come and hear God's precious word. The music's playing softly. We sit here with our heads bowed and in the peace and quiet, listening, preparing ourselves for God's precious word. There's a stillness. And if you, Brother Smith kept saying, be still and know that I am God. And how that's true to feel the stillness of the Holy Spirit. And as we talk about an atmosphere, I wanted to use this as an example. When Brother Branham, and I pulled this from several different places just so he could he mentions it and just to kind of show, but he was talking about the angel of the Lord here when he's having healing services. And he says, this paragraph 65 in Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, and this was preached January 16th, 55. He says, now, sister, being a stranger, you've never seen me in my life. Of course, I see you wearing glasses. There's something wrong with your eyes. That's true enough. But God knows you. And now I'm just talking to you. And as soon as I go to talking, I find out this one thing. You are a Christian, a believer. You are a Christian because your spirit is welcome. And I can feel the anointing of the Holy Spirit that you are a born-again believer. That's right, because your spirit feels welcome to the angel of the Lord, which is here now. And you're sure that there's something going on. You can't explain it, but it's a real sweet, humble feeling. Isn't that right? If it is, raise your hand to the people. And the people that's looking that knows that woman, you know whether she's truthful or not. The woman now knows, because between she and I is a light moving, which is the angel of the Lord. And the woman knows that's true. Then in 1964, in the Oddball, paragraph 180, and this was preached June 21st, 1964. He says, what did he say he would do? He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do you believe that? Here is a man sitting in front of me. He is suffering with arthritis. He really, I don't know whether he's going to get it or not. He is the kind of a man about my age. He suffers with arthritis. He's not from here. He's from Kansas City. Do you believe that God will heal you? Do you believe that God can tell me what your name is, Mr. Francis? You believe with all your heart he was trying to rob it from you, sir? And you was thinking I was meaning another man, but it was you? And when I said that, a real funny feeling come over you, real sweet and warm. If that's right, wave your hand like this, he says. And also your wife sitting there, she is Mrs. Francis, and she suffers also with arthritis, and she has got trouble with her eyes and trouble with her ears. Is that right? And the lady sitting next to her, right next to her, is suffering with varicose veins, right? She has something wrong inwardly, some kind. It's a bladder trouble. She has bladder trouble. She is also from Kansas City, Mrs. Gregg, that's right. But each time the angel of the Lord came around, each one of these, as that light was moving, I want you to notice the atmosphere that they began to feel. A real sweet, humble. Just notice that every time, and this is in the message, Let Us See God, November 29th, 1959. Now, if that was the Messiah, the sign of the Messiah then, paragraph 215, it would be the sign of the Messiah now. If the Messiah is the same yesterday, today, and forever, your conscience, that is something going on, aren't you? Now just let the audience know, a real sweet, humble feeling has just been, is on you. Isn't that right? And the woman says, that's right, raise your hand. Real sweet, humble. I'm watching that light between me and the woman. Now it's breaking away. And he goes on to say, this woman is suffering with TB, right? And she's just come from a tubercular hospital. That's true. There's somebody else. It's this boy. Just a minute. The same spirit on him. See, that is the Holy Spirit. That angel was moving. They would begin to feel that sweet, humble spirit. Each one of them. And page after page of every time this would happen, Brother Branham would express it the same way. You'd feel that presence and know that angel was near. And how that struck my heart as we see that, and we know that the Holy Spirit abides in each one of us. And what an atmosphere we ought to create in ourselves. Brother Branham in Expectations put it like this, preached February 28, 1954. And this is about middle paragraph 57. He says, now if you want to have expectation all the way from the heart, soul, body, mind, that God is going to give us a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit now, and I feel and that I filled it and it's near us, God is willing and ready to give it to us. So now if you expect, that's what you receive. If you've come to the meeting saying, well, I'm going down, I'm just going to go down and find some flaws of that meeting, I'll find some flaws of that preacher, I'll bet you can. Don't worry, you'll get it. The devil will show you plenty of them, yes, sir. You'll go back and say, just as I expected. That's just the way it was. Same group of people found fault with Jesus when he went through the pool of Bethesda. And all those cripples laying there, lame, halt, blind, withered, passed by every one of them, never healed any of them, and went over and healed a man laying on a pallet and walked away. Them Jews, Now, if he's the healer, let's see him heal. Just as you expect, that's what you get. But you come in the meeting expecting to see the glory of God moving and the power of God, sinners being saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, sickness being healed, then watch what God shows you. Yes, sir. And then he goes into talking about, he says, see, you are a creator in yourself. How many's born again? Say amen. Congregation says amen. Do you know each one of you is a creator? You're a part of God. You're a son of God, an offspring of God, a daughter of God. Is that right? Then you are a creator. Now, did you ever see people? They were nice people. And I ain't saying this for any back now. Nice people, but you just couldn't hardly stand to be around them. You know that, nice people. It's their atmosphere they're in. Then you've seen other people that you just long to be with them. Is that right? It's the atmosphere that's around them all the time. Now, my wife's sitting back there. She don't know this. And she's supposed to be here somewhere. And he's going to give us a real good example, and I think we all can relate. All of us are husbands, or most of us, and all of us are wives, and we've all got children. And I want you to listen as he expresses this situation out. He says, my wife's sitting back there, she don't know this. She's supposed to be here somewhere, and you can imagine in our home about what it takes place the run of a day. people coming and going, and I go in sometimes, and the poor little fella in the kitchen crying, not even a chance to cook the children anything to eat through the day. And you can imagine what his home must have been, with people coming and knocking on the door, the phone ringing, always needing, somebody needing help, always. And it was taking place around him all the time. And the little kitty, the little girl about 2 years old, little Sarah, Rebecca, they're in there and they're crying, going, oh, my wife crying. She'd look up and she'd say, Bill, I'm just about to go crazy. I just don't know what I'm going to do. And gray-haired at 34 years old, and I said, well, no, honey, that's right, honey. I said, I never don't fuss at her, see? That's right, honey. It's very bad, you see, but we're serving the Lord. See, what I'm doing all the time in my heart, I'm trying to create a different atmosphere. They're all nervous, and they're tore up, see? Now, I was just thinking in my heart, oh, Lord, now send me your presence and your love to my poor little tore-up wife. And I say, yes, dear, that's right. I say, what is this here? Oh, we haven't had anything to eat. And I say, well, there probably won't be anybody else for the next couple of hours. Let's get something to eat, and I'll help you. And I'll start getting up my sleeves. And she'd say, now, look, young man, you might be able to help me wash the dishes, but you can't cook. And I will say, who can't cook like that? And you know, just going on, well, you haven't never seen me fry potatoes yet. I was raised on them. Something like that. And I'll see a little bitty smile trickle on one side, you know. And the first thing you know, I come over and I put my hand on her and she don't know what I'm doing yet. And I say, bless your heart, honey, I'll tell you. I'll help you do this. And then down in my heart, I'm saying, Lord, send my peace, your peace that's in me to her now. Mm-hmm. Oh, God, quiet my family now. I'm your servant, Father. And the first thing you know, she'd say, Bill, you know a certain thing? Them little old black eyes snapping again, you know? Yeah, I look at the baby and she's in there, got her blocks, and the babies are playing together. What is it? It's creating an atmosphere. Hallelujah, he says. Brother, let me tell you, brothers, the atmosphere is what does it. It's exactly right. Look, it's not the hen that hatches the egg. It's the atmosphere. Yes, sir, is that right? You put the same egg under a pup, and it hatched that chicken just the same. Put it in the incubator. It'll bring the chicken just the same. It's the atmosphere. Hallelujah. We need a Holy Ghost atmosphere. That's right. An atmosphere where the power of God is a moving one chord, one place, gathered together under the atmosphere of expecting God to move down and do signs and wonders. Amen. Let's move ourselves up into that bracket and step up in faith. And as we think about this, it may not be so much the great signs and wonders, but are we looking to create that atmosphere, not only here, but wherever I go? And you know, as I think about this, and each one of us have to measure up ourselves, but have I been a creator of that atmosphere, the Holy Spirit, or have I been one that's helped breed that atmosphere of confusion? And we've got to be honest with ourselves and weigh ourselves in God's Word as we look at these things, and as I meditate on these things, and I can see short places, Lord, where I haven't been fully in the atmosphere that I should have. Maybe I let myself get just a little bit agitated, and then before I go to approach something, or before I go to try to help someone. And it's, do we truly look to make sure that we're creating that atmosphere that's bringing this peace, this joy, this warmth of a life that's filled with Jesus Christ, a life that's filled with this precious word that should be taking over our thoughts and our actions and everything about us? Is to be manifesting Him, can I truly see that I am creating an atmosphere like this? And you know, it truly brings results. We've seen it. And we all must ask ourselves, what if we'd have been put in Paul and Silas's place? Would we have thought to sing praises and to thank God for what He's already done for us? Or would I have only been able to see the situation I was in currently and the bleakness of it and maybe the pain of it? And all that was happening to me and forget what God's already done for me. But if we could just get into that presence and stay in it, always looking and expecting God to move. I don't know, Lord, you've brought the situation in my path. I don't know why. I don't know where it come from. But Lord, I know one thing. The footsteps of the righteous ordained of God. And by God's grace, I know I'm one of yours. And Lord, this trial may be really hard as we sing the little song. God will make this trial blessing Though it may drive me to my knees, and though my tears flow like a river, yet in him there is sweet relief. And how, as we think about these things, it's so much human nature to try to take it upon ourselves and to fix every situation. Try to control every situation. I know what's best. This is what needs done. We got to do it like this. We need to do it like that. And God's sitting there all the time knowing exactly what needs to be done. And as we face this, you know, as I was thinking as our pastor, he said, let's just pray about his situation, things that was happening the other night here. How we should, that should be each of our hearts. Do we ever consider the situation that I'm currently going in? Lord, let's go to prayer. Paul and Silas laying there in his jail, they sang and they prayed and praised God. Look at the establishment that was laid out before us of these things. But do we take the time, or are we too busy with life to even think about, let's create an atmosphere that would be humble, even in our homes, on the job, wherever we are? You know, we see all kinds of things. We each one have different situations in everything that we do every day, to where a kind word can turn away wrath, where we can be that peace giver to someone else. We can create that atmosphere to where it's a calming, it's settling. But what if Brother Josh is already down and really fighting a battle, and all I can do is go over and tell him about all my battles and all my troubles, and I pour out myself onto him, just not thinking about the Lord at all, just kind of wallowing in my own self-pity. There's a difference. But as we think about that, what good is it going to do him or me if we go that route? But what if I would say, Brother Josh, I'm really in a trouble, and I really got a trial, and I know you're going through it too. Why don't we go to prayer? Why don't we put our arms around each other and let's lift each other up? Instead of, well, that one's really got a problem and I ain't got one like that. Or do we feel compassion for one another? Truly feel each other's burden of what they're facing in life. And this is just meditate on it, saints, and just look back into the scriptures and look back into the prophets, the things that he done, feeling the burden of other people. Even under the anointing of praying for people on the platform and put his foot out there to see if maybe his shoe would fit that person that walked up there that didn't have no shoes. Took his coat off, maybe to give it to somebody that needed a coat that was better than his. Even old Martin, if you go back and read in the church age book, when he sent the beggar to his deacon, and the deacon sent him away, didn't even take time to help him. And he went back to Martin, and Martin took his fine robe off and gave it to him, and then told the deacon to bring him one of lesser quality to put on to go back. Do we see these things? Are we creating that atmosphere that people can draw strength one from another? Not to show how spiritual I am or to how great I am, but we're there to give strength and to be a brother one to another, and this atmosphere is created. Amen. Instead of complaining about our troubles, could we take the time to, let's just sing a hymn. Instead of wallowing in what needs done and what could be done, but take the time and say, Lord, let's just take a moment and say thank you. Amen. For what you've already done for me, Lord. Thank you for the meals you've already prepared. Thank you for the clothes I have to wear, the roof that's over my head. Yes, it might be leaking in that one bedroom, but Lord, it's dry in the living room. Our approach and the way we look at every situation in life changes the whole outlook of a situation. And we create that atmosphere in ourselves. And like Brother Branham, as he was explaining about his wife being nervous. What if he'd have went in with the same nervous tensions? What would have happened? But he didn't. Being led of the Spirit, praying, feeling that anointing. And may that needs to be all of us, not just the prophet, not just the pastor, but each and every one of us. As a husband, a wife, a child, whatever, brother to brother, we create this atmosphere, not only here, but where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst, because I'm carrying him with me. Just think of that. Two or three. It doesn't have to be two or three from a different family. Two or three from the same family, anointed together in prayer. Watch the outcomes and the atmospheres that changes. And you know what? You can feel that atmosphere. You know, I often reflect back to when my mother was going through some tough times, and Brother DeLong, being the pastor at the time, had come to the house to pray with her and Dad. And I'll never forget that being a learning experience for me. Lord, God lets everything happen for a reason. But I'll never forget that is pulling up in the driveway, being a young man and playing music on the radio I shouldn't have been, my hat turned around backwards, thinking I was somebody, you know, probably about 16 or 17. But I'll never forget when I shut that car off, and the minute my feet hit the front door, the porch, I could feel the atmosphere of the Holy Spirit. That hat come off of my head, and I went straight in there, and it was such an atmosphere. You could feel the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Does that make our pastor something? No. But where two or three are gathered in my name praying, there I'll be in the midst. He's there wherever we are, saints. He'll come wherever we are, and we carry him with us. And what an atmosphere it ought to be creating in every situation. But we get too busy with life, and we get caught up in our own situations. The wife's busy with what she's got going on. The husband, for God, he's had a rough time. But what about God? Where's he at? The one that's supposed to be the principal theme of our walking and our talking and our thinking. Did we lay him on the shelf and forget that he's supposed to be in control and on the throne of our hearts, creating these situations? All these things that lay in the precious word, do we let it come back to our memory, or are we too clouded with life and it's choking us and keeping this life from being expressed and coming forth? Amen. Just something to think about. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm sorry I didn't read this yet. What time is it? I'm getting close on time. Amen. This is in the Message in Absolute, preached March 4th, 1963. And he was speaking in a lot of these messages about healing, but just take it to every situation. Paragraph 30, he says, if this group tonight sitting here could just remember that God is still God, and he's just as able to answer in this case as he is in a case of divine healing or anything else. He is still God. And if we can build our hopes, not only our hopes, but a positive thought on what he says, and we know that it's the truth, and people act funny, they seem to just forget about the negative side because they have found an absolute, but it's the word of God. Jesus said, heavens and earth will pass away, but my word shall never fail. So if we've got the word of promise, then there's no failing it. It cannot fail. So I'm believing that what these prayer meetings here, the religious people of Houston are interested in human lives. And that's what we're gathered here for, is to call on the power that's beyond all man-made laws and powers and something who can change the hearts of men like he did Pharaoh in Egypt. And he's God. And we must stop now looking at the negative side and go to looking at the positive side. And before you can have faith, you've got to have something to have faith in. What more can you trust faith in than can the word of the living God who's created and the powers of the Almighty? What more could we put our hopes in? Therefore, it makes you look different, act different. You're looking for God to fulfill his promise. And when difficulties arise like we have now, it's an anchor. It's something that holds you, something that you're tied to. It's a promise that we have been tied to. The word of God is. And just like the anchor is the absolute to the ship, in the time of the storm, the ship can be sailing the sea. The anchor is out in front. It rests. And you people here in Houston, so close to the sea, see the ships come in and carrying this excess weight of this great mighty anchor. But you see, when the storms come and the raging storms that rip up the sea, and could throw that vessel into the bank somewhere and crash it or turn it over into shallow waters, it gets out into deep water and lets down its great huge anchor that's so fixed that it'll drag on the bottom of the sea until it hooks in the top of some unseen mountain. And then let them storms rage if they want to. It's got an absolute, and the anchor holds somewhere yonder, but it's tight. And as the ships and the waves whip around the ship, it's got an absolute because it's tied. And think about the messages our pastor has been bringing over the course of this last year about knowing that you're born again, knowing you're filled with the Spirit of God, knowing, not if I say, but if you say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and don't doubt it in your heart. Believe when you pray that you receive those things that you ask for. It's good for our pastor to have faith. It's good for God to give him all faith to pray for us, to touch our bodies. But this is the age that each one of us has got to have the faith for a rapture. A faith for healings. A faith for all of the promises of God to be fulfilled in our lives. This isn't because my pastor has faith, I'm going to make it in. No, this has got to be the faith you've got to have for yourself. I've got to have faith for myself to know that I match God's word 100%. And I have to know that when I pray, I receive what I ask for. And the same to you. God has got to vindicate it. This isn't the time for men to be lifted up with great signs and wonders. Or not men, but God being lifted up through doing great signs and wonders through men. But the time for God to do the work through lives of individuals. To vindicate and to manifest that He's alive and living. And that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever for each one of us. But each one of us need to catch a revelation that will cause me to have the faith that I need in my life, for that I know that whatever promise is laying in here, it was to me. But it's got to be to each one of us. Each one of us has got to reach out for whatever God's got for us. And it's wonderful. The scripture says, call for the elders, let them come and pray. Go to your pastor, ask him to pray with you. All these things have places. But we each one must find this anchor and this place of our rest in our own hearts and our own peace, that this word of God is creating an atmosphere in me that's showing and vindicating that Jesus Christ lives and reigns and is in the control seat of my heart, and that others can see it vindicating without my lips saying a word. But it's bearing out that what they see in me matches this precious word in scriptures. Here in the message, show us the Father. This was preached. Amen. I did not write down the date. I apologize. I can get it for you after service if anybody wants it. But it was in Show Us the Father. And paragraph 138. The word Jesus said is a seed the sower sowed. And any germicide seed in the right kind of soil will produce its kind. And now I realize that this is being taped. And these tapes, we have a tape ministry all over the world. And many people just here tonight, and where about 1,000 people are listening. Before this tape stops, there will be 10 times 10,000 here at sea around the world. And we're hearing it again tonight by God's grace. And I go on record and I say this about the word of God being a seed. If you can take the right mental attitude toward any divine promise of God, He'll bring it to pass. If you can get yourself in a position to believe that that promise was to you. But if you let some Ricky place it off on with more education than he knows gumption enough to how to control it, can stick it off some age gone by or some age that is to come, it'll be of none effect to you. Like Jesus said, you take your traditions and make the commandments of God of no effect when you try to place God, some historical God or some pre-coming God. But He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He's just as much God now as He ever was. And if you can take that attitude, and that promise is unto you, Jesus said in St. Mark 11:22, verily I say unto you, if you say to this mountain, be moved, and don't doubt it in your heart, but believe that what you've said will come to pass, you can have what you've said. And I say when you pray, believe that you receive what you ask for, and it'll be given you. How much more promise could be made than that? You've got to believe it because it is a seed. Think about that. Think about the things the Holy Spirit has fed to us this year alone. As we've seen a year go by on man's calendar, and we've sat here and heard the word, and we see what the Holy Spirit has tried to build and tried to place into our hearts. Have I taken heed to all of it? Or have I already forgotten the things that we've heard this year alone? But these things should be housed within us and in our hearts and causing a great atmosphere to be built around us. What a people we should be of steadfastness. And I should be a person that no matter where I go, a brother can draw strength from me, can draw virtue. A sister can draw strength, can draw virtue from us. But do we add to the nervous turmoil by not letting Jesus Christ have the full sway? Thinking about it from a carnal perspective to every situation instead of stopping and asking and praying and say, Lord, let me look at it through your eyes. Show me, Lord, this situation through the way you see it. What's happening around us? And as you meditate on these things, and as you go back and you read, that's only a few of the things that Brother Branham talked about. Being on these, us creating an atmosphere and the sweetness and the humility that ought to be surrounding our lives and all this thing. How much are we preparing ourselves? How much do we really think about being one as we come through these doors together here? We've come prayed up and came with that expectation in our hearts, expecting God to speak to me and to fill that, to create that atmosphere here, that when the Word of God begins to come forth, there's an anointing floating. The Holy Spirit is free to move and free to work and to deal with our hearts, as we said here, and to let God's Word be absorbed into us. Or do we still just so caught up with, I've worked so hard today, I'm so tired, I don't even know what, I really shouldn't even go tonight, I'm so tired. If I felt that way, I wouldn't come. But we should come with such great expectation when we walk through those doors, knowing that Jesus Christ is going to deliver to us His Word. Through His prepared channel, the Word's going to come, and if we'll just take His Word and let it just drink it in with great expectations, God will use a portion, a nugget of it somewhere to help me grow one step closer to Him. Amen. And oh, may that be the desire of our hearts. Amen. Amen. You sisters can come to the instruments if you would. Let's turn over to Philippians, the fourth chapter, if you want to turn with me. We'll just read this scripture in closing. Amen. Just pray, able to say a little something to encourage you, saints, and to cause us to look at what God is. Everything's happening for a reason. We're in the closing moments of time. And He said He was going to show His little bride off. We don't know what He meant, maybe in fullness through that statement. But He did say that that little bride would be flesh of His flesh and bone of His bone, Word of the Word, and that it would be reflection and manifested and vindicated. That it was living through them in everything. And that's every word. That's a lot. The entire Bible, as our pastors many times put it into our remembrance. Here in Philippians, the fourth chapter, in the fourth verse, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And finally, brother, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, and whatsoever things are pure, and good things, and whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And oh my, maybe in the midst of our hardest trial that we're going through, or the situation that may be happening, our pastor brought it back to our minds there through the one message he brought about the little lady as her husband threw his eggs on the floor. And she sang the little song, "Must Jesus Bear This Cross Alone." Look where her heart and mind was. Look at the atmosphere she was creating around her. Go back and read Job when he went through all he went, and everybody that came, nobody could bring him an uplifting word. Everybody that came was just creating that rough atmosphere. Maybe you're a secret sinner. Maybe you're this. The atmosphere was never uplifting. Let's praise God. Let's thank Him. But old Job was thinking that. When his wife said, "You'd be better that you curse God." "Oh no, you speak like a foolish woman. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Look where his mind was centered. Amen. Yeah. And his thoughts. Oh, saints, we could do so much better if we would just take this precious word and meditate on it and let it just truly absorb in our hearts. Yes, I see places I can climb. I see places when you look at God's precious word, God has a way of just pulling things out of there and just showing you, look how much higher you could be. Look how much closer to me you could be. When you stand and look at God's precious word, we always seem to be short on that stick. In the light of that great light, but by God's grace, more and more every day, I'm going to be more like Him through the grace that He's given us. Let's all stand, if you would. Amen. I wonder if we could just sing this little chorus, page 4 in our little books, before our pastor comes. I've got so much to thank Him for. Let's just sing that little chorus. Amen. When I look around and see all the good things He does for me, I know much to praise Him for, for He has been so good to me. When I think of what He's done and where He's brought me from, I've got so much to thank Him for. And sometimes while on my way I kneel and stop and say, Lord, thank You for all You've done for me. Amen. One day heaven sure, oh please let me kneel once more, I've got. Amen. Yes, dear Lord. And I've got so much to thank Him for, so much
to praise Him
for He
has been so good.
Truly the truth, and yes, so much to thank Him for. There's a lot of beautiful things spoke on tonight, and I hope every one of us has been able to gather something out of it, and many things out of it. So we greatly appreciate the word that's been brought back to our hearts, and as thinking further where Brother Bram was talking about that, and you know, being a little creator in yourself, you know, create the atmosphere people want to be around you, you know, and be with you. And you know how true that is. You know, if you've got the right sweet Holy Spirit about you, people want to be around you, you know. And I was thinking about Brother Smith, you know, when Brother Timothy was speaking those things, because, you know, and talked to Brother Smith again later, one of them did, and he was saying it's just such a sweet atmosphere here, you know, and it's just good that people can feel that. And I just trust that everybody that walks through the door will feel that. And each one of us, as we walk through the door, will feel that, you know, each time. So just trust the Holy Spirit will dwell here and have His preeminence in our lives and everything, that we may be glorifying Him above everything in this life. Amen. I love Him. He's so precious and just so thankful for what He's done for me, you know. And he was, the brothers was mentioning about, you know, the year's gone, you know, the last day of this year, I think, is it New Year's Eve? They say, whatever you're doing the last day, you're going to be doing all year. Boy, that's a good sign. Amen. Going to church every day. Amen. So that's a good thing. So we thank the Lord for that. But anyhow, we just trust we'll be able to follow the footprints of Jesus, and He'll lead us out of here. Amen. That's what I'm looking forward to. With all my heart. And it gets sweeter and sweeter to know every day it's getting closer to the appearing of the Lord. I just trust He'll help me to be ready in every way. Amen. And you too. So let's bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank You so much, Lord, again, for this precious opportunity You've given us to be here and gather with saints of like precious faith. Lord, we don't just take it for granted, Lord. This is a true blessing to us to have brothers and sisters in Christ. And Lord, to have somebody that knows, Lord, and has the same goal. And as Paul said, Lord, in the book of Timothy, to be in one mind and one accord. And Father, that's what we aim to be here at this little tabernacle. And trusting You always dwell here with us and lead us and guide us, and don't never let us get off on anything. But Lord, keep us corrected and keep us strengthened and encouraged, whatever it would take, Lord, to be what You want us to have us to be what You want, Lord, in our lives. So we appreciate it now. And again, we just ask a special blessing. You watch over us as we travel home. And Brother Pitt's driving that far, Lord, knowing the world is beginning their celebration and drinking and carrying on.
and the roads become dangerous, we ask you just to be a special blessing with us now as we travel. Watch over us and keep us and bring us back again, Lord, the next appointed time. If you should tarry, we're anxious and Lord, just wanting to see what you have for us the next moment. So just guide us now and have your preeminence. In the holy name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Do you love each other?
Amen.
I trust you will, and you always love each other. And you know, and love is all about, you know, being long-suffering, kind, gentle. Yeah, it endureth all things. Oh, my, that's what love is all about, you see. And you know what? We all have our issues. We all have problems. We all make mistakes. We all do things sometimes we shouldn't do. So we all need to be long-suffering with each other. Me with you, you with me. Is that right? Amen. So we're all on the same page, ain't we? Amen. By God's grace, we'll make it in. Amen. May God bless you. You're dismissed.